going to change gears tonight. We have a great representation of our active duty and our guard here tonight. And we don't want to leave out the reserves, especially, I don't know if you've heard this or not, they're having a big anniversary. 70 years of the reserve. And we are going to start off tonight, our second segment, by watching a little film made by, I don't know where he's at, Major Vasquez, who's out there. Produced it. There he is, right over here. He's a prime example. Stand up, Chris. This guy graduated from the Air Force Academy. Chris is also a filmmaker, and he is a great example of what you can do on both sides of the fence. Let's see this film that he made tonight in celebration of the reserve to talk about what's coming out next. Watch this.
Missions are typical of the kinds of things that citizen airmen can do.
In 1948, the Air Force Reserve was established. And her KC-10 crew can extend vital missions by thousands of miles or dozens of hours.
We planned that we were going to Tampa and then going to stay in Tampa for a couple nights, bring some airplanes back from South America, and then come back to Travis. So it seemed like a pretty vanilla mission, pretty easy.
Air Force Museum at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio, is filled with stories of our past. Every aircraft, every rivet, every fastener represents a challenge overcome, and not just in the sky. The Air Force is filled with stories of airmen who relied on their training, experience, and no small dose of courage to get the job done. Doolittle, Stewart, Reagan, all reservists. Jimmy Stewart, a bomber pilot over Europe. He not only served as a reservist, but rose to the rank of Brigadier General. Jimmy Doolittle, his Raiders struck a blow when America needed it most, yet he was also a world-renowned civilian pilot and reservist. A Doolittle still serves in the Air Force today.
They decided there was a more important mission coming down the pipes, and they retasked us and gave us a call and let us know that we were going to be going to McGuire and then Lodges. But it was definitely going to be a much more complex mission than what we were planning for when we left Travis Air Force Base.
And I can't see much with the spray. You're going to kind of help me as I get on the boom.
Copy that. I'm having a little difficulty.
The A-10s, when we were flying over the Atlantic, we were as high as they wanted to be, and the clouds were right at our level.
We'll move up when this guy's done. The other guy read you guys the weather. It hasn't changed. We'll get another update here in probably about 45 minutes.
The comfort to do that kind of stuff comes with a little bit more experience.
In April 1948, the Air Force Reserve took flight with a well-defined mission. Fly, fight, and just like they had done in World War II, win. The expertise gained by aviators throughout the Second World War wasn't lost when the war ended. Part-time military service allowed many to continue serving. Citizen Airman model is still in use today, 70 years later. In fact, many of the professional pilots across the country served in, or like Captain Hodson, had their start in the Air Force Reserve.
They bring that experience back here on the weekends or during the weekdays when they fly, and there's opportunity to fly with the young lieutenants of active duty and kind of tell them what we've seen also is what it's like on the outside, to mentor them, to give them, to pay that back for what we were given as lieutenants.
So you're clear to contact?
Every ounce of fuel counts out there.
15 Zulu to 24 Zulu is the gusty winds.
Even after the clouds were behind them, the weather would continue to present a challenge.
But we were worried that the winds were going to be exceeding the capabilities of our aircraft, and most definitely the A-10s. So we had enough gas to take us on to Morone if we needed to go on. So it was kind of another, waiting to make a game time decision of, are we going to Lodges or are we going to Morone? And fortunate for us, it was a headwind, so it wasn't a crosswind. So we were able to land, and it also hadn't started raining yet. So we had the landing distance, we weren't worried about the winds, and we were able to get the A-10s in ahead of us. So we waited for them to land and make sure that they were safe and sound, since they had less options than we did. They had less gas than we did. So we let them land first and then followed in behind them and landed safely into Lodges. When you take a moment, and you don't really have the time to take a moment when you're doing it, but when you kind of decompress at the end of the day and you think of all the training that you've done, and that it's rewarding because it's paid off. I have some friends that make fun of me that say you walk differently when you put on your flight suit. I think it's just, it sounds so corny and cliche, but it's a sense of pride to know that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And I think the flight suit gives you that pride and that integrity and that feeling that comes with wearing the bag and going out and flying a gray jet. So I'm really proud to be able to say that we did that kind of stuff. And you get to work with some of the greatest men and women that you ever brush shoulders with. I look forward to what's to come.
Today, the Air Force Reserve has 70,000 airmen stationed all over the world, flying and fighting side by side with their active duty counterpart.
It's truly one of the most amazing things in the world.
The next generation of reservists are in classrooms today. They're in high schools and colleges from every community. Technology changes. Commitment does not. To those who served before us, we honor and thank you. As we mark our 70th year of service, rest assured, we're just getting started.
Nicely done. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we have a lady back here who knows a little bit about the Air Force Reserve that we brought out tonight. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lieutenant General Marianne Miller and the star of that show, Major Jessica Hodson, here tonight as they join our panel.
Moving up.
Honored to have you both here tonight, and you're both wearing microphones. We didn't run out tonight. I was afraid we were not going to have enough microphones. So what can Brown do for you is not the line we're going to use tonight. We're going to talk about being a citizen airman tonight and what that really means. And General Miller, start us off in this, because 70 years, it's a big deal to do something for 70 years, no matter what you're doing. But the Air Reserve, why is this anniversary in the Air Reserve so important to America?
You know, if we think back to 1948, April 14th, 1948, when Harry S. Truman signed the Air Force Reserve into existence, you know, the Air Force's birthday was a year before that, in 1947. And The president in 1948 said, you know, we need to now transfer the Army Air Reserve into the Air Force. So that happened the following year. 2 years later, 147,000 citizen airmen were mobilized for the Korean War. You can't do what we do today as a lethal force without the Air Force Reserve and the Guard. The Air Reserve component is critical to our success in any endeavor, in every mission set. In every mission set, we're a significant portion of how this nation goes to war. And we have the strategic depth for the long-haul war, but we're used every day operationally, every day. And we're struggling with how we balance that every day. And one of my big concerns in working with Congress is how do we become that operational reserve? We are. How do we better fund it? Because that's the stress. But we cannot do what we need to do as a nation to defend our freedoms without the Air Reserve, without the Air Force and the Air National Guard. It's impossible.
Well, that's well said. Now, Major Hodson, you fly the KC-10. And out at Travis,
yes, sir.
What I hear. Now, I've been to Travis. I've done the air show out there, and the Gucci squadron is kind of a big deal. Are you part of the Gucci squadron? And they call it that because it's a pretty nice jet, isn't it?
It's a beautiful jet, and I am...
Have electric seats and...
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a beautiful jet. It's an honor to fly it. I'm very grateful to do what I do, and as I said in the video, it's just such a sense of pride. I flew KC-135s before, and now I fly KC-10s, and it's just an amazing mission to be a part of.
I love the way you said about putting on the flight suit, but do you ever wake up and say, like, what uniform am I wearing today? Because is it that you fly for UPS? Is it the UPS uniform? Is it the Air Force uniform? You have to do that sometimes, like wake up in a strange hotel room. I would think it would get kind of monotonous sometimes, and this helps break that up, doesn't it?
It does. It keeps it interesting for me. So I have to take things a little bit slower and remember what I'm doing and make sure I'm doing the right thing at the right place.
Right.
So,
well, it's well done. We have some a pilot's journey, some posters from the movie here tonight, and we're running way behind tonight, and we want to get in a few more questions. And I know the audience has some questions. You heard the story backstage of what these fine gentlemen did and the history. From the active duty side and also from the Guard. Do you have anything you want to share tonight? I mean, we've seen a great story, but General Miller, I'll open that up to you as well. Anything you want these folks to know that stands out in your own mind that you really want to drive home tonight to these fine folks?
You know, I think the most important thing that we need to think about is as the years go by, less and less young folks are joining our uniform service every year. And that's a concern. That's a concern. And I think this air show and many others across the country and all the things that we're doing with STEM and all the things that we're doing literally across the country that the Air Force is behind, industry's behind, to bring our youth closer to aviation, to bring our youth closer to cyber, closer to space, closer to the domains that we operate in an Air Force are just critical to the success. And we're all a part of that. As Americans, we are all a part of that.